Oh my God, it is time either way for you to just sit back, relax, decompress, pop either a sparkling water or a sparkling brewski, and enjoy the next half hour of programming. And I do want to give some shout outs to some people who make it happen. First of all, viewers like you. And then also Artesian Builds, who made this computer that I'm using. Artesian Builds, go to their website and use code TYT at checkout for up to $100 off your brand new PC. We love them, and they're really fun, and you can actually go on their Twitch channel and watch them build computers. It is wildly therapeutic. But we have a lot of show for you, and I don't want to dilly-dally anymore. I'm very happy to welcome back to the Happy Half Hour our beloved Jason Carter. Welcome.
We're back. Oh, and Brett, I have my signature cocktail, my $6 sangria from Publix, which is akin to Rouse here in Miami. Really cheap booze.
No. There is no akin to Publix, Jason. People who go to Publix know that while I know you want to say Rouse, there is more. No. I'm going to be right back. No. I'm going to join you. Hang on one sec.
Oh. It's a moment. I'm on Happy Half Hour. It's a moment. Hi, everyone. See, they're on my one shot. Hey, everyone. Hi, I'm Jason Carter. You're watching Happy Half Hour here on The Young Turks. I'm the special guest back this week. And Brett is back. By the way, your theme music is very Boogie Nights 1979 porn. It's awesome.
Thank you. We at our house have... I don't know if you can see it or if I need to put it up in front of it. We have Publix glasses.
Where did you get Publix glasses from?
So the wifey is from Fort Lickerdale, a.k.a. Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, good for her.
And if you bring up Publix, that's where Jameis Winston went and they gave him crab legs and he got in trouble for taking them. But everyone knows that that's the best section of Publix. So I will, with my Publix glass.
I'm cheersing us. Cheers. Well, I will say this: since we are inadvertently comparing supermarkets and regional supermarkets, Publix kicks the crap out of Ralph's. I'm sorry, in organization, and buy one get one free deals, and also in produce.
Oh, our whole relationship. The wife was like, "You just don't understand," and I was like, "Sure, madam." And then we went and I was, and now like the bags that we use, we have Publix like holiday salt and pepper shakers for each holiday. They have everything. And then they have like a section where you can like get whatever like you need for one meal and you get a card and it's like, take this meal, take it all home and make it.
I know. The best salads in the business, man, with crunchy apples and cranberries and yummy feta cheese. Can't get that at Ralph's.
So great. It is the kind of thing that gets you through these very tough times. There are a lot of things that you guys have been using to get you through some tough times. We asked you on our Twitter handle, HHH on TYT, and many of you responded telling us how you stay safe and stay sane. All right, I'm going to go through some of everybody's responses and we'll find out how Jason's staying safe and sane. First, I'm a do a think tweeted poop keeps me sane and a picture of a dog.
Oh, that's not the dog's name. Poop. Hey, come here, poop. Here, poop. Here, poopy.
I didn't think about that. I thought that was from the dog's perspective. But hearing you say here, poopy makes me hope that's the dog's name.
But you know what? Look, to be honest, Brett, though, there is a little bit of a cute factor in calling your dog poopy. It's like poopy. Oh, poopy baby. Oh, you know, guarantee that's not a black person's dog, though, because no black person would name their dog poopy.
What did black people name their dogs?
Like Rocco and baby and Tay and I don't know, Roz, you know, something that's real, real, like, you know, like, I don't want to say aggressive, but. All the dogs I had, I've only had one dog in my life, and her name is Valentina Mariah. However,
so good.
My cousins had dogs. So on brand, right, Brett? My cousins have had dogs named Raz, Rocco, Killer, Baby, Slice. Like, just, you know, real aggressive names, except for Baby.
So good.
And Baby was the most violent dog of them all.
Of course, it had something to prove. It's like a giant person named Tiny. You just kind of have to do what you got to do. Breaker Mighty said, listening to the pod at half speed, which I am certain sounds awesome.
Wait, what's the pod?
Just like the podcast version. Uh-oh. We do a podcast. I hope it's this pod. And then Cassie Kraft says, Spirit Week at my work, even though we all work at home. Literally, my husband came up and started talking to me about Alex Jones supporters ready for war. And I'm like, Jared, it's Wacky Hat Wednesday.
Funny.
And then we got Diarte. Jeff Coates says, not going to lie, vodka's kept me sane and binging ghost hunting videos on YouTube. And then finally, Spookborn. These two kind of go together. Spookborn said, brick building. Here are some models. I've already built about a dozen in total since January. And the two next models I'm about to build. So those are like hobbies and things to watch. I think those are great to have hobbies like that. Jason, how are you? Yeah, talk to me.
What am I doing to stay sane in quarantine? Well, much like the guy who was watching ghost hunting videos on YouTube, I watch a lot of pimple popping videos on YouTube. Jason. No, Brett, don't hate. Look, there is something satisfying about watching it just release from its chamber in the skin. That's so disgusting.
My wife's like, it was just like that. Just like that. She bought something online that's like a rubber brick that you fill with goo so that you can squeeze it and it comes out like pimples.
Oh, well, see, look, she's speaking my language. But I watch a lot of YouTube. I walk my dog a lot. My butt's getting bigger from all the walking I'm doing. It's incredible. My dog gets worked out like four times a day. It's awesome, but I love walking my dog. It's so peaceful and fun, and her ears flap. It's just the little things, and my dog just brings me so much joy. So much joy. Also doing my own daily show on Instagram, Jason Unleashed. That's how I've been staying sane in quarantine. And drinking with you, Brett.
It's so good. It's so good to have a nice drink with a good friend who's good people.
First of all, who refilled that? That wasn't as full the last before commercial break, Brett. What's going on?
I don't know. No, I did. I really want this Publix thing to be more visible, but like the backwardsness of it all is not working for me. No, I have two. I was prepared. I do this thing where if there's any drink in front of me, and we're having Shinerbach.
Gross.
It's fine. It's weird. I didn't know that it was this color. It looks like I'm drinking soda.
What is that? Is that wine?
This is beer.
Oh, wait. It looks like grape Kool-Aid.
It doesn't taste like that.
But how domesticated and very cool of you to be drinking beer out of a chalice like that. With your pinky up. Stop. Boozy.
It's from a Publix glass where shopping is a pleasure and near here drinking is a pleasure.
Quarantine has made you bougie, Brett Ehrlich. That's what you've been doing.
If bougie people don't wear underpants and wear literally, I guess I am wearing underpants right now, but wear literally the same, like every week when I shoot the show, I am wearing the same sweatpant type things over and over again.
Good for you.
And it's fantastic. I have different shirts. I don't know what day it is. It's been like 250 days since quarantine started, but I'm trying to keep it together.
What are days? What's time? Well, the construct of time has been, it's a lie. I've been in Miami for 2 months. It feels like a decade.
It's crazy. Well, yeah. I've spoken to you multiple times since you've been in Miami, which is great. So at least the distance doesn't keep us distant.
Right. It's interstellar. It's like a bad Christopher Nolan movie.
Well, I'll tell you what is a good thing to watch is Jason Unleashed. Everybody watch it on your Instagram every day. And we got to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to talk some pop culture stories. So don't go away. It's not all politics out there. And yes, politics overlaps with pop culture quite a bit. But we do want to get into it. One thing before we get into the actual stories I want to talk about, Quibi does not exist. And I just want to take a moment to rip Quibi. I'm sorry. Rest in peace, dear Quibi. Meg Whitman and company could not keep that alive. I'm going to miss there. Maybe they had shows. I don't know. It just seemed every promo I saw for Quibi looked like a fake movie in another movie.
Right. It looked like very like someone shot on a green screen in their basement with really bad lighting, bought on Amazon for like $99.99 with a 10% off coupon. However, I will say this, though. They did have some really good content, and I knew a lot of people that work for Quibi. And the problem with Quibi was that to launch something like that, that you really didn't need, because I can just go on YouTube and watch all that content. And then the pandemic came. It was doomed from the start. And you want to charge people $6.99 for this app. And then the name Quibi. What is that?
What? Sir, and then you're absolutely right. It's everything about it seemed fake, because Quibi sounds like one of the rival companies in the HBO show Silicon Valley. It seemed like a parody of itself.
No, Quibi sounds like a Parker Brothers game. Oh, we're playing Quibi. You know, not like something you want to download, right? It's like,
and at the end, Quibi. You have to shout Quibi.
Right. Like it wasn't like it was a game that came out in 1994, Parker Brothers. You got like, you know, a free bag with it at Toys R Us. And it just didn't sound cool, but they did have some cool content. There's some really cool stuff on there. Some really cool original programming, but you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, it was like COVID casualty.
I don't feel bad. I think I was talking to Ida Rolo about this, and it's like, or I don't remember, but it's like, it's not that I feel bad that it's gone. It's I feel bad that I was so right about thinking it would be gone so fast. I was like, this is just dumb money that, like, as everyone else tries to get their stuff made, all this got made and it's gone. They spent so much money on it.
So much money.
Yeah. So there's more stories to talk about. Everyone probably, I don't know if everybody saw the Borat 2 that came out. There is an interesting wrinkle in geopolitics and pop culture intermingling. There was a New York Times story about this. There's a guy, Dennis Keen, that they talk about, who's an American who went to Kazakhstan and said, in Kazakhstan, there's pre-Borat and post-Borat. The authoritarian Kazakh government banned the original film, threatening to sue Mr. Cohen, Sacha Baron Cohen, and took out a 4-page advertisement in a newspaper defending the country's honor. But he says it's a newer generation. They've got Twitter. They've got Instagram. They've got Reddit. They know English. They know memes. They get it. They're inside the media world. We're looking at the same comedians, the same Kimmel show. Kazakhstan is globalized. And as a testament to that, rather than sending Sacha Baron Cohen an injunction notice, they have a new ad campaign for the tourist industry that embraces one of Borat's big catchphrases. Take a look.
Very nice.
Here's what I think. First of all, I knew a young girl from Kazakhstan back in high school. She was very nice. but there is nothing about Kazakhstan that makes me want to go there. Even the name sounds very cold and chilly, and like they would drop me off in some forest and leave me there to fend for myself. That's what Kazakhstan, you know, conjures up when I think of the place Kazakhstan. However, Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen, whatever. The first Borat was dumb. I think I've never been a fan of Sacha Cohen. The best Sacha Cohen Baron.
Baron Cohen, character. Sacha Baron Cohen. And how many of those sangrias you got? How many sangrias you on there, Jason?
Well, my pinky's up already. Two was when he played the villain in Sweeney Todd. That's the best character he's ever done. Oh, and Bruno, remember like Bruno? Bruno. Yeah. There's a lot of penis in that movie though. But whatever. I mean, I'm just sitting here and there. They're sitting there here and there with me with Borat and Sacha Baron Cohen, and I'm glad they're embracing it. You know, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Did you see the second movie?
No, because it's on Amazon, right? And there's too much to watch on Amazon. I'm too busy watching Grey's Anatomy reruns.
All right, fair enough. That's what you're watching? You're a Grey's Anatomy rerun guy?
Yeah, because I fell off. I was like one of those diehard, like, cry on Thursday night guys, and then I just stopped watching, so now I'm getting back into it. Now I'm rediscovering my love, the rekindling the love affair with Meredith Grey.
I used to watch that. I remember I worked on this. There's a lot called the Prospect Lot in like the middle of Hollywood. That's like an ABC lot. And they shoot like General Hospital and yeah. Grey's Anatomy there. And I remember going up into one of the buildings and it was like, they shoot Grey's Anatomy here, and going, that's still on the air. And they're like, yeah, it gets a ton of people watch it still. So well, crazy.
That should be its catchphrase. That's still on the air, because anytime I bring up Grey's, people and they authentically and wholeheartedly ask, wait, that's still on? Yeah, it's the longest running medical drama on TV ever. BER.
That's nuts. Good for them. Good for them. I always enjoyed it when I watched it. I don't know why I talk trash. People are talking a lot of trash right now about Kim Kardashian, one of the beloved national treasures of our time. She tweeted this around her birthday. After 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal for a brief moment in time. She tweeted, 40 and feeling so humbled and blessed. There is not a single day that I take for granted, especially during these times when we all are reminded of the things that truly matter. We danced. We rode bikes, swam near whales, kayaked, watched a movie on the beach, and so much more. I realize that for most people, this is something that is so far out of reach right now. So in moments like these, I am humbly reminded of how privileged my life is, and people tore her apart.
Well, okay. Can we just, first of all, throw back up the graphic and look at her hashtag? This hashtag is, this 40. Is 40. Stop it. Shut last up. Topic. Right. Like, how does 40 look different than your 39 or 38 Kim Kardashian West? I'm a Kardashian apologist because I have enjoyed the Kardashians many a season, but this is just disgusting. We're on a desert island where I've taken 90 of my closest friends after having screened them. Like, really? Read the room, Kim K. Read the room. She's a mega millionaire. You could have had that celebration in private and not post it to your social media. You and Couture on some island with a bunch of different influencers and your jacked up family. You know, like, stop it. Like, this is 40. Then at 40, you should know better, right? Right.
This is there's two things that really make me mad about this. One, for her to pretend things are normal for a minute. I'm sorry, but like, the one thing we hear about mega celebrities is their fame makes it so they can't go outside and interact with the outside world. A quarantine's the exact same thing. So it's all the same for you. It's not like now you can't go to Publix or Ralph's or anything like that. This is the same as it's always been. You want it to be normal, which means I just randomly go off to a desert island at a second's notice. But the thing that really makes me mad, and it's not just about her, but when famous people talk about how the amazing experiences they have that make them so different from everyone else, and then they say, I'm feeling so humbled.
And so blessed.
That's not humiliating. Right. That's what humiliating, like when... I remember it was like Stefan Marbury had like a statue of him erected in China. And he's like, this is so humbling. It's like, no, that's the opposite. Right. They're making you out to be a god. If they tore down your statue, that would be humbling.
It's like a slap. It's like a nice, nasty sandwich, right? I'm so humbled that these 90 people have flown here to celebrate me because I'm that amazing and because I'm Kim Kardashian West, who, by the way, had a really cool interview with David Letterman. I will give it to her. She is a fun interview. However, back to her turning 40. I think for someone who has fleeting moments of just lucidity and some salient thoughts here and there, this wasn't one of them. Again, I stand by. She should have left. She should have read the room with like she should have read it like an e-reader and not have put this out there, because her base, I sound so political, her fans are people who are everyday people who don't have the luxury to do what she's doing. And the way social media has inundated the zeitgeist and the way people interpret and internalize social media, guaranteed there's some person in like Joplin, Missouri that's hating their life because they weren't on that Fyre Festival island with Kim Kardashian celebrating her 40th.
Amazing. I'm just surprised that Kanye was able to take time off campaigning. Anyways, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play What the F is Happening here. right, one of our favorite games on the show is What the F is Happening Here. The way it works, Jason, is I'm going to show you some stuff, and you have to guess what it's all about. What is the full context of this limited thing that I'm going to show you? Do you understand?
Exciting.
Yeah, and then we'll reveal it to you. It was great. Here's the first thing. Just going to show you a picture. We'll describe it, and you tell me what the F is happening here.
That is a deconstructed German chocolate cake that someone's cutting into. When they finally cut into it, it's going to be yummy goodness. That's what that is.
That's a really good guess. To me, for people listening to the podcast, it's a table, obviously, and on the table is a very, it looks like the tip of a penis. Looks like a glands. And there's a knife in the tip, and it is got a lot of nuts warts on it. It's like a pie, obviously, but it's like nut warts on the tip. Well, you were kind of close. It is a cake. The Food Network tweeted this out saying, can we have a moment for the tallest apple pie of all time? This is insane, at the Blue Owl. And they put together a video, which we'll watch and react to in real time. But essentially, they made a tall apple pie and they cut into it before everyone's very eyes. What's your reaction, Jason?
I'm still reeling from the fact that you said glands. And nuts. I mean, hey, it's 2020. I mean, Happy Half Hour could also be a sex ed class for the kids.
Vocab's disgusting.
It looks gross. That looks like when you go to Taco Bell and get those apple empanadas they used to have that are really good, and they're overcooked, and like all the gooey yumminess that's inside of it has been like, you know, dried out, and you just have this shell. That's what that looks like.
I just don't know what the appeal is to the tallness of an apple pie.
Gordon Ramsay would eviscerate the person who baked this. Gordon Ramsay would end them. This would be the erosion of someone's existence on television by any chef in America for the person who made that. That didn't even look enticing. Yeah, what the hell is that?
Yeah, what would Gordon Ramsay say? I've seen episodes where he's like, it reminds me, there's this one episode in particular, because Pluto has a channel that is just Kitchen Nightmares. And I'll spend an entire weekend day just watching Kitchen Nightmares. And there's one where the guy was like, I'm going to make chocolate prawns. And he just goes, why are you doing that? Why would anyone ever have a chocolate prawn? Is this something you want, but you didn't care about how it tastes?
Right.
That's why you're going out of business.
Yeah. Gordon's like, who told you could cook? Why are you even born? Go jump off a cliff. Now, take your chocolate prawn with you. Seriously.
And Gordon, you should not be alive.
Gordon's the biggest diva ever. But it is, juxtaposing his divaness, it is nice to see how warm and cuddly and fuzzy he is with the kids on MasterChef Junior, though.
It's true. I like him on anything. It's fantastic. But yeah, I never really came around to the. I like when they're like, could we have a moment for the tallest apple pie? It's like, no, I don't have time for that. I spent too much time trying to make the shortest stack of pancakes. It's like, what? Where are our priorities? This is the other thing that, like, in other countries where they don't have any food, they look at this and go like, I'll just take a normal apple pie. I don't know why you're rubbing my face in it. And then the extra layer of someone having to tear it open with surgical gloves. It's just like, it already wasn't appetizing, but now it seems like an alien autopsy.
Right. Like a velociraptor is going to just spill out of it, you know? It's like jump. You know, like just fly out, like attach itself to your face and like,
Yeah, I got attacked by a pie. All right. So there's that. The other one is food based. The next thing, I'm going to show you another photo.
Okay.
This is from the New York Times.
Ooh,
let's take a look. What the F is happening here?
It looks like a bad episode of Hoarders. I'm trying to make the screen bigger. I can't even see. Hold on. Let me get into.
So essentially, this is a refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a refrigerator. Open,
and inside the refrigerator, there is apple cider. a plastic pitcher, some containers of food, and under it is a button that says Trump and a button that says Biden. What the F is happening here?
I think maybe someone's calling Trump fat and Biden may be a more keto friendly candidate. I don't know. What is happening here?
A good guess. This is from an article in the New York Times that says MAGA hat easy, Trump supporter. A Biden-Harris tote is also an obvious giveaway that someone's a Biden supporter. But coffee mate, loose eggs. We wondered if it was possible to identify Trump and Biden voters based on what's inside their refrigerators, on the theory that it might say something about our similarities and our assumptions about one another. So you can actually go onto the New York Times website and take a quiz that just shows you the insides of refrigerators, and you have to guess whether it's the refrigerator of a Trump supporter or a Biden supporter.
This is some millennial crap here. Like, really? So if I choose to have Chobani sugar-free creamer in my refrigerator, that may be an inkling to someone that I could be voting independently. That may not be either a Democrat or Republican. Get out of here with that.
Really, it's Swiss cheese. Switzerland's neutral. You don't have an opinion. Right. Period.
Right. But if you have, like, I don't know, Jimmy Dean hot sausage. Oh yeah, you're definitely voting for Trump. You're definitely voting for Trump.
Well, there's a lot of rounds we could play right now, Jason, such as this refrigerator. Let's describe what's in it. This is a refrigerator with Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. It says Poncho's something, Mott's apple juice, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Krispy Kreme donuts, and some International Delight creamer, and an open refrigerated, I want to say either Mountain Dew or something else. Where do you think?
First of all, this is in some like trailer park in middle America. Definite Trump supporter right here. As a matter of fact, the Krispy Kremes are on celebration of if he wins on election night. That's what that's for. They're rationing the Mountain Dew because the caffeine they need to stay up to watch and wait for the results is real. The apple juice is for the alcohol they're going to make some kind of like nasty drink with it. They're going to mix it with something. What else is in there? Is that within the eggs? That's to go egg and be like, I don't know, menacing to the Biden people.
There's an imperial and I can't believe it's not butter, dual margarine tubs.
I just threw up in my mouth. Margarine? Yeah, that's definitely, those, they're for sure Trump supporters, because no right-minded Biden supporter is going to have margarine. We're going to have salted butter. Or cream butter from Publix.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a Trump supporter. The next one, let's take a look and see what's in there. This is Pellegrino.
Uh-huh.
A Brita dispenser.
Yeah, sounds like my type of party.
Some kind of various kinds of perfectly stacked Tupperwares.
Mm-hmm.
Some refrigerated bagels.
Yep.
Yeah, and some eggs.
Right.
More classy looking eggs. What do you think this is?
Yeah, they're for Kamala. They're they're for the women vote. They're all for minorities being in power. I mean, just by the bagels in the refrigerator means that they love to keep their bread fresh. And so this is someone who's definitely going to be voting Democrat on November. When is election day anyways? I said my ballot. When is election day? November 3rd. November 3rd. They're going to be voting the right way on November 3rd.
Well, I hope so. I can't, Jason. I can't fathom what it's going to be like.
Cyber hug, Brett. I'm cyber hugging you right now. I know. It's going to be okay, Brett. It's going
to
be okay.
Cyber hug to you.
Brett Edmund Ehrlich. It's going to be all right.
Jason, what's your middle name?
You never ask a man his middle name. Just kidding. It's Jameson.
Jason Jameson Carter, host of Jason Unleashed on your Instagram. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all for taking the time.
Clink, clink.
And we'll see you next time on the Happy Half Hour. Pop culture still exists. What's old is new again. And something that I think a lot of people will probably respond well to is that Jon Stewart's heading back to TV, according to The Hollywood Reporter. They say Jon Stewart's headed back to our TV sets as part of an expansive multi-year deal with Apple. The Emmy-drenched former writer, producer, and host of The Daily Show is set to front an all-new current affairs series for the streaming service, where it's expected to begin rolling out next year. The still untitled show, which will feature hour-long single subject episodes, will be executive produced by Stewart, though through his company Busboy Productions, a showrunner for the forthcoming series, for which Apple is expected to offer a companion podcast, has yet to be named. And I'd like to throw my name in the ring, but that won't happen. Yeah, so Jon Stewart's headed back to TV. What do you think about that, Jason?
I think it's cool, but I also feel like this is like much like the reboot phenomenon of a couple of years ago. That's what's happening with streaming services now. Apple is like corralling along with Netflix and saying, okay, let's get all these luminaries, these people who have like these incredible audiences. Jon Stewart has over 20 Emmys. It's like at least a dozen he run back to back to back. He's like an institution. You talk about national treasures, Jon Stewart's national treasure. However, my issue with what is happening is that all these shows are the same, right? The current affairs, sit down interviews, episodes that kind of like try to push the envelope and be a little edgy, because with subscription based television, you can do that, but they all end up being the same and they all end up having the same kind of feel and vibe. There's only so many sit downs and only so many like gotcha moments that you can have with celebrities on these platforms that will resonate. It's now it's like, okay, great. Who's coming? Is Phil Donahue and Sally Jesse Raphael gonna do one too? Like, you know, is Rosie O'Donnell up next? Is that what we're working with here? And Jon Stewart, of course, yeah. I think he's a perfect person to do that. He has a really cool nuanced way of attacking interviews and connecting with people beyond comedy. I think that some people lean into comedy to really drive home what they're trying to do. Jon Stewart can do either or, but whatever. It's always like a multi-year deal with Apple, link, you know, overall deal with the podcast and a car. It's just, yeah, it's the most. But congrats. Welcome back, Jon.
Yeah, I'm glad he's back personally. It's weird. Like, I watch The Daily Show every so often. The ones that I watch front to back are all the Jordan Klepper ones, because I just want to see them out in the field interviewing people to get a look at that about the Trump supporters and everything like that. But I don't know. I'm happy it's happening. It's all those things where you get your hopes way, way up for me to go back to a certain time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The thing about Comedy Central was that his show and his opinions served to, for a lot of people, kind of crystallize something they were thinking about the world. Mm-hmm. But then everyone went there to like learn the news and an opinion about it at the same time. The other people who do that right now are like TYT, and Fox News does their primetime lineup, the Rachel Maddows. They had Keith Olbermann has gone back to doing that kind of thing. But now the go-tos are kind of still in the DNA of the Jon Stewart universe, which are, you know, Last Week Tonight and the Colbert Report. Like, right, those are the Colbert Show now. He's doing that. I guarantee you that since Jon has gone off and done like his auteurship arc, where he is written and directed and kind of grown out the beard and used his time to then also go to Congress and lobby a relief package for 9/11 first responders. Mm-hmm. I think he has the opportunity to come back and kind of do something that's kind of a mix between like John Oliver and what David Letterman's doing, where he's like, I just want to sit and talk to people and really get to the bottom of things.
I think so too. I love that you brought up David Letterman, because I think what he's doing with his Netflix series is incredible, because he brings on different people like Lizzo, Dave Chappelle, Kim Kardashian, and has these really cool conversations. But the thing about Jon Stewart though is that I would love to see him, much like when he is at Congress lobbying for these really cool initiatives, how impassioned he is and how present he is and how just emotionally charged he gets. I would love to see that Jon come to the forefront with this content, because comedy is great. And you know, you have people who have made a living being funny, like John Oliver. the John Oliver is the best to me when he kind of like chills out, leans in, and has a real emotional and visceral opinion about something that's not shtick, that's not written for him, where he goes off script and he's like, listen, here's how I feel about George Floyd or Breonna Taylor, because then he's human. There's a connection there. When you look at comedians and people who have used comedy as their vehicle for their personality and their content and their show, you get used to seeing them only as gabump, right?
Yeah.
John Stewart, of course, capable of doing more than that, but it's a new day. Audiences are way more savvy now. Dave Chappelle even had to come back and be different after disappearing for almost 20 years. And he had to come back and be like, okay, I can still be funny, but let me, like you said, what TYT does, let's crystallize these ideas. Let's educate the people on what's going on through comedy, but in a way that's not so like, you know, like I gotcha.
Yeah. he did a really good job. And that cadence is still in the John Oliver stuff, where it goes joke, 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 joke. Mm-hmm. And then in the setup, like his setup is the thing that really, he'll explain in one sentence everything that's going on and then make the turn and bring it home. And it's not just the old monologue thing of set up joke.
Sure.
It has an arc, and that's really appreciated. I'm interested to see where it goes. I know that when The Daily Show came of age was really when he pointed out crossfire on cable news. The people who were turning politics into a sport and letting like the things that really should be serving the people, it was turning into a circus, and mm-hmm. he called it out and was actually able to get it into check, and Crossfire got canceled because of him. And I think there are similar circus-like activities happening in the media right now. And I think a lot of people are yearning for that voice that can come be kind of like the Mance Rayder who gets all the different factions together and say, yes, this is the direction we should go in, while respecting everybody and not belittling them for kind of being on their own and trying to figure it out in the meantime. Sure.
In the meantime, yeah, for sure trying to figure it out. I think with John Stewart, I think what's also good, important to mention is that much like network television, you are under the thumb of a network that, even though you may be the EP or you may have some kind of power of the creative and what is being said, how it's being delivered, you still have to answer to a higher being, right? You still have to answer to people who are like, ah. But on subscription television, especially streaming television, these people are pretty much given carte blanche to do what they want to do, right? And so that's why you see David Letterman being a little bit more nuanced than he would on a CBS or because maybe for years, much like Dave Chappelle, who was like, I couldn't be the slave to these networks anymore. That's why I disappeared. For years, they probably felt like these are things I've wanted to say. This is who I truly wanted to be. I just couldn't break away from the character that I was forced to create for these networks that wanted to just impact their bottom line. And that's what we're seeing. That's why a lot of Shonda Rhimes, hello, left the House of Mouth and is like, deuces. And I'm sure Ryan Murphy as well. You see how nuanced and better their content is when they finally can be, I guess, who they've always wanted to be creatively.
Yep. And we'll see how it pans out. Thank you so much, Jason. Everybody watch Jason Unleashed on his Instagram. And we'll see you next time on Happy Half Hour.